Today we come to celebrate the Trinity. But have you ever thought of where the Trinity came from? Where the whole idea came from? After all, it's not in the Bible. Jesus never used the word. Jesus never really called attention to the Trinity. How did the Trinity, as an idea of the expression of who God is, come about? Well, the Trinity was just that. It grew out of the experience of God in the early church. After all, the early church had really embraced the notion of God as creator from their Hebrew background. And they came to believe that God was revealed in a very special way in the person of Jesus, the resurrected one. And there were those in the early church who had seen Jesus, talked to Jesus, both before the resurrection and after. But there was also an experience of an incredible power in that early church that connected them one to another. A power they couldn't describe. A power that seemed to be a part of God that was filling them, that drew them into community with one another, that nurtured them into seeing a connection with each other, that led them to care for one another in ways that they had otherwise not really thought about. It was a power that inspired them to be connected with people that they never expected to be connected to. It was an experience that broke down barriers that had existed within their cultural background. After all, it was an experience that broke down cultural barriers with men and women coming together to worship together, which was unheard of in the time of Jesus. It broke down economic barriers, slave and free, rich and poor, coming together to worship together. That had not happened before. And it broke down religious barriers. Jews and non-Jews were now coming together, worshiping the same God, worshiping together. All this power, drawing people together in ways that they would never have expected. And the church came to see this presence as the Holy Spirit, the promise from God and from Jesus that God's Spirit would come among them, would bind them together as one, and thus became the Trinity. And Augustine seemed to put it all together in the 5th century, where he linked the Trinity to Jesus' command to love God and love one another, to serve God as Jesus served us. Augustine took the premise that God is love. And he said, if God is love, that proves the Trinity. Because after all, if God is love, that means God exists in relation, in connection. And in order to have that connection, you need three dimensions. You need the one who loves. You need the lover. In other words, you need two beings that are in connection with one another, and then that very special thing that connects them. And he said, there's the Trinity, lover, beloved, and the love that exists between them. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And that was so powerful, it became the whole focus of the early church. And many attribute the rise of the early church to their deep and abiding belief in the Trinity, God working among them, bringing them together in connection. You all know most of that. But there's a question that we don't want to ask. Can we identify with that experience today? Do we feel the same kind of power that they felt in the first and second century today in our world? Does the same spirit that worked in the first century continue to work among us? Does that spirit, does the Trinity, the presence of God, exist at St. Peter's? To get very personal. That's the question, really, that we should be asking this morning. Is the Trinity a concept that makes sense to you and me? Can we identify with it? Have we experienced it? in all its dimensions. Well, I stand before you today to tell you that at last night's community dinner, if I ever had any questions, which I really hadn't, about the presence of the Trinity among us, those fears were dispelled last night at the dinner. Because at that dinner, I saw the experience of God's presence in three very tangible actions. I saw it through welcoming, through serving, and through connecting. When we began the dinner, it pretty much on the surface looked pretty much like any other dinner that any group ever has anywhere in time immemorial. We welcomed people, we collected their money, we gave them a plate if they were doing takeout. And then they started going through the line and saying to the servers what they wanted, and the plates were piled high. And then they took the dinners and they sat down in their own little seats and ate the dinners at the tables. On the surface, it was just like any other dinner. But something was very special about this ordinary dinner. These dinners that go on every month, and each one seems to carry the same special aspect. And it was revealed in seeing return customers who had been there sometimes 3, 4, 5 years supporting these dinners. We never miss these dinners, we say. And then we began to hear the glowing comments. These portions are huge. Food was absolutely fabulous. Or the one woman who sat in the front seat just going like this. And then there were those moments in conversation where there was just this special connection. When somebody looked into your eyes and said, "We'll be back next month." Or one conversation I overheard where someone asked one of our parishioners, "What do I have to do to join this church?" What is so different about that dinner that made it different from ordinary dinners? I believe it was because of connection. I believe it was the connection of God's Spirit bringing us together. Connection. And it began with Irene and Georgette and Judy sitting at the table, welcoming, engaging, and connecting with people. People walking into this building, maybe not all of them in a very good mood, but just after they sat down and money was collected and interchange happened, their faces just brightened. And they either got their takeout dinners or they got their plates and they began to move through the line. And along the serving line, food was not just dished out, but there was interchange. The servers would talk to the people coming in. There'd be laughter. Sometimes the line would get slowed down because people were interacting with one another. And by the time they got to me at the very, very end, most of the people were laughing and smiling and ready to move on to the dessert table, which in many ways was the highlight of the whole evening. And then people would move to the tables, and they were eating and resting, yes, but they were also engaged in conversation, animated conversation. And there was a low din in the room because of the noise. People connecting with one another. There was something about that dinner that connected people. And I call that the presence of the Spirit. But let's not talk of or forget about the silent members in the kitchen. Remember the Martha who served Jesus by working in the kitchen when Mary went out and sat at Jesus' feet and listened to all his wisdom. We had a lot of incredible Marthas in the kitchen last night, making sure that when we needed garlic bread or when we needed salads, all of a sudden they appeared. And suddenly a tray of sausage would appear when we were running low. And not only that, but then there was Georgette, who filled 7 baskets full of takeout dinners and jumped in her car and made a connection by going into the homes of parishioners who couldn't make it to the dinner but somehow still felt connected. And we can't forget that 10% of the donations from the dinners last night went to support the No Freeze shelter. Once again, people making connection. Now, maybe it doesn't occur to you that this was the Spirit at work, but maybe you should. Maybe we need to take a little bit more focus and believe from the bottom of our hearts that the Spirit is alive and working here at St. Peter's. And that when we have a dinner last night or in any of our connections, that we're living in the image of God. We're living in the Trinity. In that sense of being in relationship with one another, which really is living in the image of who God is. Connection happens, you see, when we stop and look and listen. When we stop, when we pause in our lives out of the busyness, and instead of focusing on ourselves and where we're going and what we have to do, that we stop and allow to be connected with someone else. And then there's the look. It's not just stopping, but when you have an opportunity to connect with someone, it's looking at them, looking them in the eye. Are they happy? Are they sad? Are they depressed? Do they look anxious? Do they look harried? Do they look tired? A look can sometimes tell you what's inside an individual. But you have to look at someone to get it. And when you do, you connect. And then there's the listening. Listen to what someone has to say and respond. Listen to who they are. That's what being connected is all about. Running that risk. Running the risk to open yourself up to be in relationship, to be connected to someone else. And that, my friends, is what the Trinity is all about. That's what living in the image of God is all about. That's what Jesus preached when he said, love one another as I have loved you. Love God, serve one another as I have served you. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. That's what Jesus is talking about, being connected with one another. And that takes intentionality, and that takes faith. That's what it means to love one another. That's what it means to live in the image of God. That's what it means to experience the Trinity as individuals and as a congregation. And you know what that is? That's mission. We hear our bishop talk about mission a lot, and we all have our ideas about what it is. That's what the mission of the church is. Simply to be connected with one another. It's not so much about building community or increasing coffers or putting more people in the pews, having programs, and even building kitchens. That's not ultimately what it's about. What it's about is welcoming and serving and being connected to one another. And when we do that, everything else will come. And you know, welcoming, serving, and connecting is simply something we do well at St. Peter's. That is who we are. That is our identity. And that becomes our mission. And that is what I saw happening that last night. And that's what happened at the dinner before that, and before that, and before that, It's what's going to happen at our tag sale, because that's who we are. Today is Trinity Sunday, and we worship the Trinity. But let's not forget that the Trinity is not just a theological concept. It describes who we are. People living in the image of God, believing in the image of God, and connecting with one another through God's love. And when we do that, we're true to our mission to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Maybe not so much by what we say, but in St. Francis's words, what we do. So preach the gospel, my friends, and use words only when necessary, and continue in the way of welcoming and serving and connecting. In the name of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.